Kings chapter 20 and verse 12. I'm going to preach on callings, gifts, and callings. I used to be really, really kind of beat around the bush about some of this stuff, but now I'm just kind of straightforward with how God gives it to me. I'm just going to be brutally honest with you this morning. I'm really hurting today. My dad's passing away, and it's hard to watch your hero die. So y'all just remember me this morning, especially my stepmom and my brother. We've went a couple times, and it's just probably a matter of days. And it's just really hard for me. I try to not show that I'm hurting, but I am, and I'll just covet your prayers, if you would pray for me. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah, sure. Sure. Get into this message. I want to tell you this. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. We're going to talk about gifts and callings. Gifts and callings. Everybody in here has gifts and callings. Okay? Like I was going to say when I first started off, that I used to say, if God's calling you, if you have a gift, I want to say this boldly and straightforward. Everybody in here has a gift and calling. Everybody in here does. There's not one person in here that's not got a gift and calling from God. All right? But before you can get that gift and calling, before you can use that gift and calling, guess what you got to do? You got to be saved. You've got to be born again. The Bible says it this way. In 1 Timothy 2 and 4, it says this. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And the Bible says this. Look, in Romans 14, 11, it says this. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. I want you to know this, and I want to put this in a correct pattern right here. Every person in this room, God wants to save you. Matter of fact, let's say it this way. God, it's His will that every person in this room be saved. It's His will. Now, it's not His will that He's going to make you get saved. It's His will that He's going to present to you the opportunity to be saved. What's going to happen is you are going to be witnessed to, and the gospel is going to be shared to you over and over, over again in your life. And then ultimately the Holy Spirit will deal with your heart and you will have to make a decision whether you accept Christ or not. That's everybody in this room. And I guarantee you this without a shadow of a doubt. It's going on here every Sunday, every Wednesday. You're coming into this sanctuary and God's dealing with your heart and He's trying to pull you and tug you and bring you to salvation. And some of you have relinquished and said, Jesus, here I am. And others have said, maybe next week, or maybe next time, or maybe I'll come back and I'll repent later. Well, that's not what God wants for you. He don't want you to put Him off one more time. He wants to save you. And you know what? He wants to save you now. And what He's saying is, He's saying, listen, if you wait around long enough and you miss the opportunity to be saved, guess what's going to happen? At the end of this life, you're going to bow to that very same God, that same Jesus. You're going to bend your knee and confess out of your mouth that He was God. So I encourage you, I beg you, stop putting Him off and be saved today. Stop saying, well, when I do that, no, listen. Why wait and stand before a God who you can serve today? And now we're going to talk about service, because I think it's important that you understand this. God doesn't want any of us to sit on the sidelines of faith. Not one of us. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to get into 2 Kings 20 and 12. 2 Peter 1 and 10 says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Y'all like that last part? Never fall. Some of you are believers in here, but you struggle in areas of sin because guess what? You're not making your calling and your election sure. You've been saved, but you've not sought out God for the calling in your life. Can I say this? You knew what you were called to do probably before you got saved. Some of you have got burdens to serve God in certain areas, and it sounds outlandish and crazy to your mind and heart, but once God gets involved, it's amazing. It reminds me, I don't want to preach that whole message right here, but it reminds me of a little boy with fishes and loaves who said, this sounds crazy, but I've got something that I want to minister the world with, and it seems like a little, or it don't even matter, insignificant to the world, but somehow I feel like if I put it in God's hands, He can do something amazing with it. Guess what? God can do something amazing with you. Just me? Yes, just you. Just you. You got to make your call on election sure. And I'm speaking directly to someone when I say this. Stop telling God you're going to do something someday and make today that day. Some of you have made declarations to God. One day I'm going to feed people. One day I'm going to clothe people. One day I'm going to be a help to people. Praise God, get up and do it. Get up and do it. You'll be dead before you know it. I don't know how to put it more blunt than that. You'll have to put up with me today, I guess. James 1 and 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's why you're getting pushed this way and pushed that way. So one day you're doing this, and one day you're, let's just make it plain. One day you're serving God, the next day you're serving the devil. One day you're serving God, one day you're serving yourself. One day you're serving God and you're praising God and you're blessing God and you're in the altar and you're in the church and you're making promises, and the next day you're cursing, you're lying, you're watching pornography, you're telling lies, you're drinking, you're drugging, you're doing the things you said to God, I'll never ever do it again. Get your mind single towards God. It sounds impossible, but it's absolutely possible. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. If you'll get right with the Lord, if you'll get focused on the Lord, your path will be directed. Next thing you know, you'll be going places and doing things for the Lord, and you won't even know how you got started. I just put one foot in front of the other, because guess what? God will direct your path. This is my favorite one. God put this one on me earlier. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I want to tell you this. This is amazing to me. I didn't even know what joy was until I got to serve the Lord. I served my life. I served myself and the devil for 30 years. And I was never full. I was never happy. I was never full of joy. I was always looking for something else to put in here or to put on here. And when I found Jesus, I've never begged bread since. I have never begged bread since. I've never been hungry. I've never been thirsty since. I'm full and totally content with Christ. Thank you. Somebody needs to be preaching. Amen. Y'all ready? 1 Kings chapter 20. And some of y'all said, well, man, we're about halfway through the message, right? No. Can I preach to y'all this morning? Got nowhere else to go right now? Good. I want to give this to you. 1 Kings 20, verse 12. And after the earthquake of fire. Can I tell you some things that happened there? There was a powerful wind. There was a powerful earthquake. And then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, after the fire, there was a still small voice. Golly, that's God. You expect God to be in the big things. Amen. I know I jumped right into this story, and this is disconnected a little bit, but I want you to get this anyway. If you're looking to serve God, He's not going to usually do it by earth shaking, earth blowing over, fire, explosion. Usually it's all the time, it's a still, small voice. I'd probably get an amen right here. Some of you are here this morning because you heard a still, small voice. Everything else said, go to bed, stay home, get some rest, don't. And there was something in there that said, but you need to go. But you need to go. There's something there for you. Amen? Some of y'all want to give up. Some of y'all want to quit. Some of y'all want to throw in the towel. Some of you want to resign. Some of you said, I would never do this again. I've had my feelings hurt. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody wants me to do it. But then there was a still, small voice. Get up. Carry on. Press on for me. I love you. You love me. That's enough. Verse 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. I've been there and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. Have you ever been in an isolated place with God? You're all spiritual and you love Jesus, but you're isolated. No, I guess I'm the only one. All right. Listen to this, I'll keep preaching. There came a voice unto him, and he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah's hid in a cave. He's got more anointing, more calling, more fire, more passion, more love. He's got a call on himself, and guess what he does? He goes to the entering of the cave, and he wraps his face in his anointing, and he looks out of the cave, and he's like, man, I'm good with God. Have you ever been good with God in a weird place? In an isolated place, you feel like you're all alone, you're hiding from the world, but God's so good to you. You say bumper sticker slogans, but you can't get yourself out of the hole. Whew. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen? Whew. That kind of stuff. But somehow you can't figure out how to kick yourself out of bed, out of the house, and back to what you're supposed to be doing. Elijah cannot do anything in the cave. Do you love how God, he says, why are you here? Ain't it cool when God asks you questions? He's God. He knows the answers. He just wants to hear it from you. I want to ask you this. Why are you still waiting for God to pull you out of your dark place to do the thing that you've been called to do? Amen? Verse 14, and I said, I love this. Sounds like some of my prayers. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets and the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Oh God, I'm the only one left. I'm the only preacher. I'm the only spirit-filled Christian. I'm the only one. You're crazy. That's what God says to me all the time. You're nuts. I've got more than enough of people like you. I just chose you because, you know what? I wanted to use you. Golly. Some of y'all need to hear that. Amen? God's got a big tool shed, and He got plenty of tools in there to use. And praise God, you should just be glad that you're in the shed. Amen? I'm probably one of the dullest hammers in the shed, but praise God, I'm glad when He reaches in there and gets me. I heard somebody say amen under their breath. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord. Verse 15, get with 15 with me. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah the son of Zaphat of Ammimelo shalt thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. Ain't Jesus cool right there? He says, he just wanted to answer him real quick, because I got about 7,000 just like you. Amen? What he was saying is, I have completion of completion of completion of people just like you that love me. Amen? He was just making it clear. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. All right, listen. Can y'all do me a favor? And I know it's Sunday morning, and y'all don't like stuff like this. If you're, could y'all just stand up with me real quick? Everybody just stand up, please. I know. Scott has us stand up every other minute for singing, and Jody. Can y'all do me one favor real quick? Just kind of shake it off a little bit. Y'all ready? This is going to be the crux of the message, guys. Y'all ready for it? Right before we're going to sit down, I want you to know this. Everybody in this room, God wants to save you first. In this next part, he wants you to come forward and accept your calling and ask for him to use you. And I'm not saying you're going to get your calling here. Some of y'all just need to say, God, I'm going to be looking out for it. I'll be waiting for it. I'll be looking for it. I'll be praying for it. Amen? Are y'all ready? Are you ready to sit back down? Hallelujah. Because if right here, since I got you to stand up and you sit back down, I can preach for about 40 more minutes because y'all get a fresh dose, all right? Y'all ready? Y'all may be seated. Whew, every one of y'all that almost. Y'all get into the This is going to be the last part of the message. I want y'all to absorb this. Hopefully you've been listening the whole time, but if you can absorb this part right here, it's only 3 verses, okay? So he departed thence, and he found Elijah, the son of Zaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Elijah was a farmer. All he ever seen was farming. Amen? But guess what? This day right here, there was going to be a change. There was going to be a change. Opportunity was going to pass potential. Opportunity is passing potential. Amen? He was a farmer, and he was a good farmer. He had 12 sets of oxen. He had 11 workers working for him, and he was on the 12th. He was riding and plowing and planting. Any farmers in here? Riding, plowing, and planting. God, no, preacher, we don't do that kind of thing. We just do it willy-nilly. All right, then. He's right. And all of a sudden, God's man, that's how it works, God's man or God's woman passes by. Opportunity passes by. This is how God does it all the way through the Bible. He never puts a sign over his head with neon lights going, this is for you. It's always just the opportunities there, and you have to reach out and grab it. You got to accept it. Remember Zacchaeus? Jesus was passing by, and he got up in the, he got in a position where he could see Jesus, and Jesus could see him, and he says, come down from there. He's like, all right, I didn't know why, but now I do, right? Blind Bartimaeus, same thing. Had an opportunity, Jesus passed by, right? That's how it works. When Jesus passes by, when that opportunity passes by, you've got to take it. You'll do it before you even know. I can't. Some of y'all are going to sit right here and go, what is my calling, preacher? I don't know. I didn't even know what mine was. But I knew I had a burden, and I knew when opportunity passed, I jumped on it. Amen? And I might have jumped on some opportunities that wasn't even mine. Y'all good? I jumped on some opportunity with mine. I thought, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. Because I didn't want, listen, God would love a racehorse that he would like to say, whoa, 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 than a dead mule that he's having to say, go, 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 go. Some of y'all are on the other spectrum. Amen? But he passed by, and it was one of the coolest things. He passed by, and he had his mantle. This is my mantle. Notice? Some of y'all get it? Yeah. And he walked by. Elijah's walking by Elijah, and he's walking by him, and he sees him. And he, like he's going to go on by, like on the road to Emmaus. Jesus acted like he was just going to go on by. But I guarantee you, Elijah the younger is up on that plow, and he sees him. What's a prophet doing out here? I feel like there's a prophet inside of me. I feel like there's a prophet inside of me, and there's a prophet passing by. I wonder if he started steering his plow over towards the edge of the road. And maybe Elijah looked at him and he threw it on him. Now, you ain't taking that home. He threw it on him. He threw his calling on him. He let him test drive who he was going to be. He threw an anointing on him, a calling on him, a blessing on him. And at first it probably scared him half to death because he just dropped it on me. Just throw it on him and act like he's just going to keep on going by. What does it mean when God puts on you something that you don't even know what it is? You ain't taking that hoodie on. What are you going to do when your calling finally shows up, but you've been somebody who's been plowing? You got an identity. You know what your mother does. You know what your father does. But you don't know what your Father God does. See, he's been a farmer his whole life. Oxen make sense. Plows make sense. Rows make sense. Listen, I hate to tell you this. I'm not a farmer. But if you're plowing, the next thing you know, you're sowing seed. Then you're harvesting. Amen? He's got a plan lined up. I know what I'm going to do the rest of the year. I know what I'm going to do the rest of my life. And guess what? God comes by and interrupts by throwing something on you. Throwing something on you that you don't know what to do. But you know it's in there. God said, you're going to be a preacher. I didn't know how to preach, but I knew it was in me. I knew what my dad did. I know what my family did. And that wasn't preaching at that time. I was going to be a worker. Amen. I'm going to make some money and have a house and provide for my family. But guess what? God says, I got another plan for you. I got another plan for you. I'm going to throw something on you that you can't even identify with. There's somebody in this room right now, you're wishing I'd have threw that on you. Amen? For two reasons. One is the cool sweatshirt. Number two, you're going, I got a calling. God's been calling me my whole life. I've just been afraid to do it. And I've been trying to do what everybody else is doing in my family, in my life, everything I know to do. But God's got something else on me too. But I'm scared. Let me tell you something, a sweatshirt being thrown on you ain't going to make you anointed. But what will is when you see God passing by, you say, hey, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Not qualified, not educated, not ready, not even close. But God, if you put it on me, I'll go. Amen? Y'all like this? Watch this. Watch verse 11. He came before him, so he departed thence, and he found Elijah and was plowing with a yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast the mantle upon him. Verse 20, and he left the ox and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. Can y'all help me? Watch. He throws a mantle on him and kept walking. Y'all don't believe me, but after he parked the oxen or the John Deere, or I don't even know what another case. All right, Massey Ferguson. All right, good. Hey, I got three in my repertoire. All right, so he pulls that thing over and he runs him. Hey, don't leave. I'm ready. You need to hear that. Don't leave. I don't want to be a farmer no more. I don't want to be what I was. I don't know what it's going to look like going after you, but I'm about to go tell my mom and daddy goodbye. Let me go kiss them and tell them goodbye. You know what? The anointed man of God told him? I don't care. Never. If I said that to you, you'd be mad at me for 3 months. Brother, I think I'm going to be in the ministry. Oh, man, I'm so excited. I'm going to tell my parents. I'm going there, and I'm going to tell them that we're going to be preaching and on the road with you. Praise God. And I don't care. You would be so mad at me. You would be like, you're supposed to be as excited as I am about what God's doing in my life. That's not my work. That's what Elijah, the older, was saying. That's not my job. My job was to throw the mantle on you. It's your job to work that out with God. Have you ever told God that you were going to do great stuff for Him? Have you ever told God that you're going to do great stuff with Him? Well, you better follow that up with quick, decisive actions. Because words with God sometimes settle. I wish I had a couple of real true ameners in here. Have you ever let your words settle because they wasn't followed up with actions? Quick, decisive actions. You made a promise to God, but you didn't act quick after that. And next thing you know, you're settling right back into normal old life. Let me show you what happens with Elijah, though. And he said unto him, "Go, kiss my mother and father, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" He says, "What am I doing? It ain't none of my business." Verse 21, "And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and he gave unto the people that did eat. Then he arose, went after Elijah, and ministered unto him." He went home, hugged mom and dad, kissed them, and said, "I'm about to become a prophet, and I'll never be back again." Well, son, let's just have a plan B. Amen? Dad, mom, we ain't got no plan B. Why? Because I have burnt the plow and the oxen, and we're having lunch. I laid off 11 workers, but I sent them home full. A stash of meat, a full belly, and I told them goodbye. I'm no longer a farmer. I am a prophet. Amen? You see them yet? Do you see them? I see stuff like a movie. They're sitting there pulling off big old hunks of meat and eating, and Elijah's heading down the trail with the mantle hanging on his shoulder, and he's running after Elijah. "I've kissed mom, I've kissed dad, killed the oxen, burnt the plow. Baby, let's get to work. I'm with you." Can you see Elijah walking up to there shaking his golly bum? This guy is going to be a fireball. Amen? He's going to be a fireball. And they get to a place, and Elijah turns to him later on and says, "Elijah, what do you want? What do you want from God?" He said, "I want a double portion of what you got." Elijah looks at him and says, "No, that ain't for me to give. That'll be up to God. But if God is going to grant you that, when he calls me up, and he will call some prophets and preachers up, and he will replace them with other prophets and preachers, He said, when I go up and that mantle's still here, if you can pick it up and you smite that water and it parts, God will give you that double portion. Golly, where'd my sweater go? There. My sweater. Some of y'all covered in my sweater. Elijah went up. The mantle came down. Elijah, the younger, went and picked it up. He goes. Nobody's looking at him and watching him. I wonder if he'll be as good as Elijah. Elijah, the older. I'm not going to be as good as him. I'm going to be better. I'm going to go after it harder. I'm going to get a double. Some of y'all need to ask God for some big stuff in your life. God, I want to be what you called me to be. And I want to live the rest of my life doing the thing you called me to do. Lord, let me pick up my calling and let me split the waters and let me serve you with a zeal and excitement that I've never done before. Let's all stand as they come get a song. And what I'm asking you this morning is not to come up here and make something.